80, I think I ought to indicate that I may change my vote on the House floor on one or both. At this point, I'm not sure.
Chairman, I want to reserve that same right because I just plainly admit that I haven't had a chance to look at the details. Don't want to blindside anybody.
Many of us are in that point, and this is a bill that is controversial. It's out, and the subcommittee chair has got a chance to carry the message.
Right, and I might say that there was a controversial bill in that subcommittee that didn't pass. These two were not considered controversial when they came out of the Housing Committee.
Okay, again, Representative Peterson, House Bill 3347.
We are shifting now to a different topic altogether. This is a bill that relates to the one I'm going to follow, or that will follow, concerning the budget now for the Juvenile Services Commission and the Great Start programs, which and Student Retention Initiative, which have all been lumped together in one program now. And this particular bill gives the appropriate name for that. It provides for a change in the name of the Oregon Youth Services Commission, as referred to in the bill I'm carrying next, as the Oregon Community Children and Youth Services Commission. It provides that legislative council may substitute the name revision in ORS for words designating the current Juvenile Services Commission or the Oregon Youth Services Commission discussed in the bill following. And that sounds a little confusing, but basically in the following bill, we'll be talking about what we've done with the Juvenile Services Commission, adding in the Great Start programs, the Student Retention Initiative, and giving it this new name, which will be the Oregon Community Children and Youth Services Commission, which is a real moniker. But as I understand, the importance of community in there is the emphasis the next bill puts on community programs, and wanting to include the word children, because the Juvenile Services Commission has now become larger and will involve more than just youth, involves children also. So I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion, questions from the panel, please.
Well, is the name change, is the wording in there so that the name change is conditional on it being able to fit on a letterhead?
In two lines.
What is the acronym?
We tested it. It's safe.
All right, further discussion.
No, not safe.
Another one of those.
No.
Is there objection to House Bill 3347 being sent to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Next is House Bill 3466.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the bill that combines the Juvenile Services Commission, the Student Retention Initiative Program, and the new Great Start program under one particular agency. Provides for the restructuring of the Juvenile Services Commission to administer grant programs and provide technical assistance to communities for services to families and children ages 0 to 18. The amended bill reflects the efforts and decisions of the House Human Resources Committee, with sections 24 through 28 added by Ways and Means for providing the funding for the administration of and community grants. 3466 includes funding for the juvenile services grants, which is $10.9 million, subsidies to juvenile court departments, $850,000, and administrative support of $1 million, originally contained in the Juvenile Services Commission budget. 3466 also provides for the transfer of the Student Retention Initiative Program, both grants, which is $1.6 million, and administrative support, $300,000, from the Office of the Director, Department of Human Resources. The committee also recommends a funding of $5 million for Great Start grants to counties, $500,000 for expanded services for homeless and runaway youth, and $250,000 appropriated to the Emergency Board for release to the Commission for staffing requirements of the Great Start grants programs. Section 27 and 28 provides for removing funds contained in the Department of Human Resource appropriation bills for the Student Retention Initiative. One budget note contained within the budget report directs the Children's Services Division to review current distribution of funds for programs funded by the division to determine if there are any inequities of funding for the services and develop a plan to correct any problems found and make recommendations to the 91 legislature for improving equity in funding and services. This actual legislation spent most of its time in the House Human Services Committee, the structure of it, and just briefly, because the Juvenile Services Commission has worked effectively for a number of years on the local level, bringing volunteer community support, suggestions for what works best in that community, then bringing those plans to the state level for approval by the state JSC for actual allocation of grants. Because that particular structure has worked so well, the committee decided that's the structure they wanted for the Great Start in Student Retention Initiative. Because as according to the testimony we heard from various people, that is the best way to get local communities involved and excited about a project. What this bill does is set up that mechanism then, and after much discussion, not just in our committee, but prior to that, it feels like it was the right way to go, and I urge your support.
Thank you. Are there questions, discussions, Senator Carroll?
I'm hazy on this, so maybe I'm incorrect, but isn't there a Children's Coordinating Commission or something like that?
Child Care Coordinating
Council.
Yes, there
is. Does that fit into this at all, or are they separate? Do they work together?
I suspect there may be some connection there, but I don't remember that it specifically fits into this legislation. I don't know if there's someone in the audience.
Not in the legislation, but maybe in some projects.
How about, was all of this worked out with the governor's office?
Yes, very definitely. Representative Stein has been very active. David Fuchs from Juvenile Services Commission and Janice Jaden from the governor's office.
Sounds really good.
Well-crafted package, I would say.
Further questions or discussion? Not, is there objection to sending House Bill 3466 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Next is House Bill 3470. Quick draw, Burton.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair, this measure relates to the sale and use of firearms. The substance of this bill has been extensively debated in the House Judiciary Committee. The primary purpose of Ways and Means Committee review is the fiscal impact on the Department of State Police. The cost of the Oregon State Police study of firearm sales, which is required in Section 29 of the bill, and the fingerprinting processing is estimated at $741,612. This amount is offset by $315,000 in anticipated concealed weapons application fees, which results in a net general fund appropriation of $426,000. The bill, as I mentioned, has been extensively debated, and it represents a balance of civil liberties and public safety interest, and I recommend your approval.
Thank you. Are there questions?
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. Yes, Senator Cannon, please.
Representative Burton, just looking at these amendments, in Section 38, is that language that was added by the subcommittee?
Section 38 of
page
bill?
3 of your amendments, dated 6/22/89.
Yes, that in the bill, the committee, that's the preemption language that was requested by the gun lobby and then agreed to by the cities and counties and the law enforcement people. Essentially states that this particular act preempts local gun control except in those areas inside the cities where they can do regulation. So that was a compromise, or not a compromise, but an agreed upon position reached by both the gun lobby folks at the table and the cities and counties and the law enforcement people. So it was changed slightly by the subcommittee to add the word only. Senator Hill was concerned it would be very clear what this was saying, and I think the original language that we proposed was, except as otherwise provided in law, cities and counties and the political subdivision of the state may regulate the possession of, and it says only the possession of. So that was an amendment that was made in the subcommittee, the word only.
Okay, I know one of the sensitive areas is the so-called concealed weapons permit. When we say only the possession of firearms in a city, does that change the intent of the concealed weapons permit?
No, the concealed weapons permits would be, the state law would be the primary law. Local jurisdictions could not change the concealed weapons permits locally. That would be a state-regulated activity under this law.
Thank you.
Questions?
This would be like discharge of firearms in a city park kind of thing, or the regulation of businesses selling firearms as a business interest in a city would still be the local option, but the concealed weapon would be a statewide law.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion? Questions? Is there objection to sending the amended House Bill 3470 to the floor of the House with a new passed recommendation?
I object.
Maybe let's just call the roll then. Would you call the roll on the motion, please, Mr. Brown?
Representative Van Lee?
Aye.
Hammond?
Aye.
B. Jones?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Brent?
Aye.
Shola?
Aye.
Chair Gilmore?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hammond?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
No. Nancy?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Next is House Bill 3473, Senator Denny Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This involves the transition of ownership documents. Problems are created in bankruptcy cases for security interest holders of vehicles, mostly banks and credit unions. If titles have been recently transferred but not recorded with DMV. In order to avoid these potential problems, titles need to be transferred within 10 days of a sale, which is often impractical and sometimes impossible. DMV, by administrative rule, has adopted a transitional ownership document for use in certain cases. House Bill 3473 authorizes the use of a transitional ownership document to perfect security interest legally record security interest in vehicle. The bill establishes a fee of $13 for submission of the transitional ownership document to DMV. In the 89-91 biennium, the $13 fee will not be sufficient to finance all costs, which include startup costs, therefore requiring a highway fund subsidy of approximately $67,000. However, in the following biennium, the activity should be self-supporting at a $13 fee. I recommend approval, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there questions? Discussion? Is there objection to Representative Jones's motion that we report House Bill 3473 or the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Any other items that members have? Representative Gilmore. I'm sorry, we have another item that was reported. We would probably need a suspension.
I'm going to, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask the unanimous consent by the committee that we add House Bill 2749. It was a bill late last night the Natural Resources Committee dealt with that did not make the agenda.
Representative Gilmore has asked unanimous consent to suspend the rules so we can consider House Bill 2749. The bill is a bill that we approved in substance earlier, dealing with the confined animal feeding operation. We were advised that we had amended that bill inappropriately into another bill, and this is a bill before us for corrective action previously taken by the emergency board. Is there objections to the rule suspension? Hearing none, so ordered.
House Bill 2749 is your Ways and Means gut and stuff. It relates to dairy products, and it was introduced by the Committee on Agriculture, Forestry, and Natural Resources. The relating clause is accurate. We're told we do not primarily need the existing bill, and how the milk stabilization and marketing program has been inactive since February of '88 because of the dairy termination program. As Senator Thorne mentioned, under 3445, the CAFCO bill legislative. Council had misdrafted it, and we needed this bill to transfer those remaining funds from the Department of Ag to of the dairy product in the dairy Oregon Dairy Products Commission to use for education, research, and technical assistance. So this bill is amended so that it can carry those sections that were deleted in the other bill, and I would ask that the committee send us on.
Okay, the question before us, well, is there a question or a clarification to Representative Gilmore's motion? Not, is there objection to sending under the rule suspension House Bill 2749 to the floor of the House for the due pass recommendation? Hearing none, no, so ordered. Other items that should come before the committee? Subcommittees are meeting, salary, human resources, and general government. Thank you, and we'll be on the call for full after Friday, or after Saturday, I'm sorry.
Human resources will only be there about 10 minutes. It's Senate Bill 448. We have to look at the amendments and send it on to full.
Salary will then follow.
And general government is meeting after.
Human resources, then salary, and your meeting at the same time.
And capital will start right after human resources. Bill LC 4063. Representative Hanlon, you need a bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the draft LC 4063. Includes the provisions of seven substantive measures relating to the environment. They were the following. And before I go into this, the House Chair and the Senate Chair, where these bills came from, sat in on all of these work sessions in the transportation sub as we went along, and Representative Cease and I both went in this morning and requested that the Speaker refer this, should this committee choose to introduce it, refer it right back here so we can get to work on it. It was the following: House Bill 2155 relating to the Community Right to Know program, House Bill 2156 relating to the Spill Response Program, House Bill 2332 relating to the Oregon Superfund Program, House Bill 2334 relating to Toxic and Hazardous Materials Use Reduction, Senate Bill 167 related to the Underground Storage Tank Program, Senate Bill 423 relating to groundwater, and Senate Bill 424 relating to solid waste management. The bill establishes several fee sources to finance the programs. In total, it raises $7.2 million in other funds for the next biennium, and in addition, an appropriation of $1.5 million general fund is included for the groundwater program. Next, the draft bill, as I held it up earlier, I don't think drafts of copies have been handed out for everyone.
Is there any objection to introduction? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next item is the bill budget. We will have one. Budget bills reporting out of subcommittee is 5060. It's a House bill. Representative Burton is not here, so we'll move on down to Senator Larry Hill has 5566. It's relating to certain building activities of the Department of Higher Education, capital construction. Senator Hill, would you like to start on this for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5566 is the Department of Higher Education Capital Construction Appropriation. As amended by the subcommittee, the bill appropriates general fund dollars in the amount of $17 million for the construction of the Knight Library at the U of O, $1.8 million for construction of the School of Nursing Building at Oregon Health Science University, $510,000 for planning three projects, and $12 million for bond debt service. In addition, $115.9 million of project authorization is granted for projects funded by gifts and grants or self-supporting bonds. The $12 million appropriated for debt service is $1.3 million less than the original amount proposed. This reduction is possible because of the $17 million appropriation to cash finance the Knight Library, resulting in savings and debt service. There's a project list. I can share individual projects or respond to questions.
Well, question.
Further discussion? Yes, Representative Jones has a question. Go ahead.
Quickly, of these three first bills here, are they inside or outside of the expenditure limit?
That's a question I'll have to defer to LFO staff. I believe that 5566 is outside the limit, or it's considered to be outside the limit at this time. And the staff...
Some of it's not general funds.
John is agreeing. The general fund portion, there are other funds contained in the bill.
Oh, I know all that. I'm talking about general funds.
At this point, it's considered to be outside the limit. Although we haven't, Mr. Chairman, just for the record, Ways and Means hasn't yet spent enough dollars to actually put us over the limit yet, but this is considered to be over the limit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think just for the record and for future, anything that's outside, I'll not be voting for it here. However, just make that statement for the record, and farther down the road, then if they're in, we're fine. I don't have any problem.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Just for a point of clarification, why don't we ask the analysts to review? We're talking general funds now, capital construction.
Mr. Chairman, all of the general fund in House Bill 5060 and in 5566 are above the appropriation limitation. There is no appropriation in 5062.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any opposition to reporting House Bill 5560 to the House?
No.
5566. Senate Bill 5566 to the Senate as amended. Is there any opposition? There is two people, three people. The record is so noted. Let's return now to the order in which we'll take 5060 relating to capital construction projects. Representative Burton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5060 appropriates $62.6 million of general funds above the appropriation limit for capital construction, acquisition, and improvements and related special capital needs. The bill further establishes an other fund expenditure limitation of $133.6 million and federal fund limitations of $22.8 million. The bill reflects the single largest construction program in the state since the early 1980s. This program represents a catch-up and is not expected to be maintained over future biennia. This bill provides for the financing of a new Capitol Mall building, new Public Utilities Commission building, new Capitol Mall underground parking structure, new office building in Portland, and new Department of Fish and Wildlife building through the use of certificates of participation. A new state archives building is provided through combined general funds and COP financing. The subcommittee spent considerable time discussing the state's expanded use of certificates of participation to finance the additional office buildings. The subcommittee felt that there was a prudent course to take to finance needed construction and heard testimony from the state treasurer supporting this approach. House Bill 5060 provides for a general fund appropriation of $23.1 million to the Department of General Services to pay anticipated building operating costs in order to further reduce uniform rent rates increases. This $23.1 million reserve will revert back to the state general fund if general fund resources drop by $95 million or more from the close of session estimates. Capital construction projects contained in Senate Bill 5559 for the Department of Human Resources and Department of Corrections have been included in House Bill 5060. A capital construction fund of $1 was created for community colleges with the direction to return to the July 1990 Emergency Board identifying their construction needs. The subcommittee appropriated $6.6 million general fund to specific agencies for deferred maintenance and appropriated $5 million general funds to the Emergency Board for further deferred maintenance projects. The subcommittee discussed the state's liability regarding asbestos abatement in state buildings and appropriated $9.3 million of general funds to the emergency board for funding when the highest priority projects are identified by the Department of General Services. In general, the subcommittee endorsed the level of construction and deferred maintenance projects in this bill and appropriate general funds to the greatest extent possible to reduce our level of debt and future debt increases to state agencies. Chair, I would recommend approval of House Bill 5060.
Further discussion on Senate Bill 5060?
House Bill.
Let the record show that Representative Jones votes no, Representative Yee votes no, and Representative Sewell votes no, and the rest vote aye, and it will be reported to the House due passed as amended. 5062 relating to bonds, capital construction. Once again, Representative Burton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5062 establishes the limit for biennial revenues from issuance of general obligation bonds during the 1989-91 biennium at approximately $583 million. The bill further limits issuance of direct revenue bonds to $265 million, pass-through revenue bonds to $280 million, and certificates of participation at $172 million. The bill establishes authorization to various agencies for private activity bonds. The subcommittee spent considerable time discussing the state's expanded use of certificates of participation. It was noted that a large amount of this authority represented the inclusion of financing agreements under Senate Bill 59, which are currently used without any limitation. Several members of the subcommittee had concerns about the state issuing debt for construction of buildings when historically we used either general fund or general obligation bonds approved by the voters. The subcommittee felt that this was a prudent course to take to finance needed construction. In addition, the State Treasurer's Office testified the use of COPs to finance construction projects represents a sound financial decision and will not have an adverse impact on the state's bond rating. In fact, the State Treasurer, in testifying on this particular measure, said that he took Senate Bill 59 and showed that to the bond folks on the East Coast, and they were significantly impressed with the fact that Oregon was taking steps to control the use of COPs in the method that we were proposing here, which is something other states aren't doing. Mm-hmm. Mr. Co-Chair, I would recommend House Bill 5062 to the House Board of Defense recommendation.
Further discussion? Hearing none, let the record show that Representative Soa, Jones, and Yee are voting no. The rest are saying aye, and we're passing. Next, other bills reported out of committee. Senate Bill 211 related to Metropolitan Service District. Senator Hannon, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, Senate Bill 211 relates to employees in the Metropolitan Service District. This bill provides for employees in the Metropolitan Service District to be included in the public employees' retirement system. Under the provisions of Senate Bill 211, the Metropolitan Service District would become a participating employer of PERS for the specific class of employees described in any given application for membership. Employees would determine by class if they wish to retain their current plan or switch to PERS. New employees would become members of PERS upon completion of the required service period, and eventually, through attrition or employee selection, PERS would be the sole retirement system for the district. Any fiscal impact due to the inclusion of Metro employees in PERS would be borne by Metro, and there would be no adverse fiscal impact on the PERS fund. Mr. Chairman, members, this will allow them to eventually arrive at the completion of all employees of Metro in PERS, but there is, again, I want to point out, no fiscal impact to PERS. And I would urge its passage.
Thank you very much. Is there a discussion on Senate Bill 211? Is there any opposition to Senate Bill 211? Hearing none, so ordered. We will send it due pass to the House floor. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 448 relating to public health. Senator Hamby, please.
Thank you. Senate Bill 448 addresses the increasing occurrence of substance abuse in pregnant women. The bill states that it is state policy to minimize the problem through a coordinated approach of treatment for physical and psychological needs. The bill directs the Department of Human Resources to study the magnitude of the problem and the effectiveness of the existing programs and to prepare a statewide case management model for providing services. The department will appoint an advisory committee to assist in the study. If a federal grant is received, the Health Division will establish two pilot projects to demonstrate innovative approaches to reach the target population. The bill also requires health care providers to perform a risk assessment for drug and alcohol usage as early in a client's pregnancy as possible. The providers will send anonymous demographic information on substance-abusing clients to the Health Division. The division will then compile the information to assist state planning for future programs to substance abusers. The Department of Human Resources will submit a report on activities under the bill to the legislature in December 1990. Notice there's a $1 appropriation, but Mr. Chair, I'd like to call the committee's attention and to clarify for the record Section 6 of the bill. And if I may read, the Oregon Health Sciences University shall have an integrated curriculum in the medical school to teach medical students drug and alcohol abuse assessment and treatment procedures and practices. Integrated curriculum apparently has raised some confusion, but for the record, I would like to clarify that it in fact is a curriculum that integrates the drug and alcohol procedures and practices mentioned in this bill. I urge your support.
Further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, we'll report Senate Bill 448 due pass to the Senate with the attached amendment. Senate Bill 475 relating to mass transit. Senator Yee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 475 provides the primary needs defined by the Transportation 2000 Committee. It is the extension of light rail within the Portland metro region. Senate Bill 475 establishes a regional light rail extension construction fund in the state treasury. Senate Bill 475 does not appropriate money to the fund. It sets the criteria under which monies could be appropriated and defines what the funds could be used for, such as preliminary engineering phase, construction, or acquisition of equipment. The Public Transit Division of the Department of Transportation will administer any future expenditure of monies from the fund. Specific projects in the metro area that will benefit from this fund are identified in the bill. TriMet will match an equal amount of funds for the phase of the specific project for which money is being sought from the fund. Senate Bill 475 provides for a reversion of monies in the fund to the general fund when all projects are completed. Also, all interest earnings will accrue to the fund. Amendments approved by the subcommittee allow the director of the Department of Transportation to enter into written agreements with TriMet that commit to pay anticipated funds on a periodic basis over a period of years. Those agreements shall be solely conditioned upon actual monies available in the fund. Urge your support of Senate Bill 475.
Further discussion? Is there opposition to sending Senate Bill 475 due pass to the Senate with the amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 618 relating to state personnel. Senator Larry Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 618 requires the Department of Human Resources and the Department of Corrections to report on a quarterly basis to the Legislative Review Agency, that is the Emergency Board, or the Ways and Means Committee, on position vacancies. The review agency shall order the reporting agency to show cause why the budgeted positions have not been filled and shall assess the impact of the vacancies on the delivery of services, second, the use of overtime, third, use of temporary employees, and fourth, employee workload and morale, and finally, the health, safety, and well-being of the public. As amended, the bill has no fiscal impact and will present a valuable forum to discuss and evaluate this budgetary practice for two major state agencies.
Further discussion? Is there any opposition to sending Senate Bill 618 engrossed to the House floor due pass? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1134 relating to criminal justice. Senator Schroll, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1134 creates the Oregon Crime Prevention Resource Center and establishes a coordinator position to be appointed by the governor. The center is created within the executive department and would develop, plan, carry out, and evaluate comprehensive crime prevention programs implemented by local crime prevention councils. coordinate crime prevention efforts, act as a crime prevention clearinghouse, and provide technical assistance to local government. The bill would establish an advisory committee of 15 members, 13 to be appointed by the governor, and one senator appointed by the president of the Senate, and one representative appointed by the Speaker of the House. The bill establishes a $1 other funds limitation for the center and a budget note requiring the executive department to return to the emergency board with an implementation plan. Mr. President, this is an exciting new program. I think that if we coordinate a state crime prevention resource center with local centers over the state, that we will begin a process of doing something to aid in preventing crime. And I think this is a good measure. Recommend approval.
Further discussion? Any opposition to Senate Bill 1134 relating to criminals? Do pass with amendments to the Senate. Hearing none, so ordered by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is House Bill 3056 relating to public transportation. Representative Hanneman, please.
Mr. Co-Chair and members, 3056 establishes a public transit division and renames one that we have now. Doesn't provide any funds for motor bus acquisition and I think other equipment. As I said, doesn't provide any funds, but House Bill 3055, if it passed, relating to tire and battery assessments, which I didn't support. sorry, Mike. Would fund the program. If you want me to say anything else, I don't. I think
further
that,
discussion.
We'd be farther ahead without it.
Senator Bradbury.
I just wanted to put on the record, it's my understanding that the intent of this bill is to follow the same process that is currently followed by the Transit Division, or the Department of Transportation, when they currently convene a Capital Grants Advisory Committee, and they work through a series of decisions relating to matching federal and local funds, meeting the needs of Oregon's smaller communities in rural areas, and then setting priorities for the acquisition of various equipment. And I just want to establish the intent that our intent was that this advisory, this new fund would be implemented in the same manner that the current Capital Grants Advisory Committee is administered and implemented.
Further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5554, Senator Yee, relating to the Executive Department.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This Executive Department budget has been approved by this committee before. It's brought back here because of a technical adjustment. A position has been transferred from the Budget and Management Division to the Personnel Division, but we did not include the FTE in the Personnel Division. This is a limited position, and we want to add it back into the budget, and would appreciate your approval.
Further discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 2010, Representative Burton, please.
This little hummer comes back to on us again. House Bill 2010 deals with the repayment of amounts owed from the general fund to the Oregon War Veterans Fund. This is returned for reconsideration after questions were raised about the constitutionality of incorporating an appropriation for current expenses within the bill on an unrelated topic. If you recall, the measure itself had three basic components. The payback amount of $58 million or so to pay back a certain portion that had been borrowed at 51 and 63, another provision, and then with that a provision for $18 million or so to be set aside for payback on some other funds. A second provision which corrected the general or the Attorney General's concern raised about the appointment of members of the advisory committee, and then there was thirds put into the bill $200,000 appropriation to the department for payments to veterans organizations for services. And Legislative Council and the Attorney General both suggested that that particular section, Section 4 of the gross bill, be deleted to resolve a constitutional question. As amended, the bill still provides for the ultimate transfer of the $77 million from the general fund to the loan fund for debt service payments on amounts removed in prior years. And unchanged are portions of the bill dealing with the appointment of members of the Veterans Advisory Committee. The discussion in the committee, it was felt, I think, strong support in the subcommittee, continuing strong support for funding of the Veteran Services portion, the $200,000, and the co-chairs indicated that that money would be found in other places somewhere, would be funded. But as the bill was structured, it was wouldn't meet the constitutional muster, and so what we're doing here basically is deleting that Section 4, and that will be funded in some other source in this biennium. I would move your approval of House Bill 2010.
Did this pass by 60-zip in the House?
Certainly did, after hours of debate.
Have you estimated how much it cost to delay this action?
Probably about $250,000.
Does the Senate want to respond?
During no debate.
We all supported
it. I had to say that. I apologize.
We all supported it.
I know, and I apologize.
Not our fault.
Okay.
I do say, in honesty, that we have the members that raised the question, they wanted to separate the issues, and I feel like we tried to respond, and there wasn't the ability to divide all the issues.
Yeah.
But I think we've tried to respond to their concerns, and I'm prepared to take it back out.
We really appreciate that on a serious note, because this is something that we are going to do. It's a matter of packaging, I guess that's what the consensus is. And we appreciate Representative Burton carrying this bill 3 or 4 different times. Is there any opposition to sending amended, once again, Senate or House Bill 2010 as amended? Do pass by the Senate. Hearing no opposition, so ordered. House Bill 3111 relating to water. Representative Saul, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a bill that we had before us before that would have provided for a one-time shot for the mainly irrigation districts that hadn't distributed and hadn't filed the water plans properly, and gave them an opportunity to do that on a one-time basis. The Senate made some amendments to tighten the definition of user, meaning the owner of the land, and deleted Section 8 of the growth bill that amended ORS 54610. That would have exempted transfers of water rights within quarter of sections from abandonment of rights for non-use when transfers or applications are filed with Water Resources Commission on or July 1st, 1992. Recommended.
Yeah. Is there further discussion on this particular bill? Is there opposition to sending House Bill 3111 relating to water to the House? Senate, excuse me, do pass. Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 3277 relating to trailer houses. Representative Peterson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill and the one following it were both bills we acted on last week. After the fact discovered there's a slight constitutional problem in that we cannot add emergency clauses to bills that deal with increasing taxes or raising fees. Both of these bills are supported by fees, so we had to take off the emergency clause. The bills are exactly the same as they were before, other than they will not get going quite as early because the fees won't come in. I would like to clarify for Senator Yee, because I think we had some discussion about this earlier, that this 3277 sets up the Ombuds program for mobile home parks. It is $3 a year, not $3 a month, $3 a year to fund this program. And the people in the state of Oregon seem to be pretty supportive of this.
Further discussion? Representative Van Vliet, which is wishes to vote,
still remaining,
vote no. Anybody else?
I feel I can support the bill now.
We appreciate that. Hearing no opposition other than that, then 3277 will return once again to the House to pass with the amendment. 3280.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Peterson.
Pretty much the same idea. We had to take off the emergency clause. Okay. This is a fee-related bill. This is a $5 one-time charge, not a year, but one-time charge, to set up a fund that would allow people to take out loans to actually buy the mobile home park if they chose to.
Further discussion? Representative Thorne, further objections?
Objection.
Representative Hanneman?
I might. Come and get a looking at it.
Let the record show that Jones is thinking about it. House Bill 3280 will report due pass to the House floor as amended. 3302, relating to corrections. Senator Dutrolle, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. 3302 was previously approved by this committee. It established that it's the goal of the Department of Corrections that all inmates, with limited exceptions, must work. It also requires that the department develop a comprehensive plan for meeting that goal. The bill was again before this committee with an amendment made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Senate Judiciary Committee deleted from the bill a requirement that plan include sanctions for inmates who refuse to work, such as loss of privileges or good time. The department indicates that deletion of the language does not prevent the inclusion of sanctions within the comprehensive plan that it is in the department's intent to include, and it is the department's intent to include sanctions to the extent that employment opportunities are available. For this reason, it's recommended that the bill as amended by the Senate Judiciary Committee be sent to the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. 3302, relating to corrections, due pass to the Senate as amended. Other business?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Yee?
I wish to change my aye vote to no on Senate Bill 618, and it will not affect the outcome of the bill.
Just a second. Which number was that?
618.
618.
Other business. Oh, yeah.
Without objection.
Oh. Other business when you get there.
Without objection from the members of this body, Senator Yee requests unanimous consent to change her aye to no on Senate Bill 618, which will not change the outcome of the vote. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Other business?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Peterson.
The Health Division requests approval of four applications for federal grants. If the division received the awards, the programs would be funded in addition to currently budgeted programs for 8991. There are four programs. The first one is a $125,000 one-year planning grant to identify methods to coordinate public and private services for HIV-infected persons. The second one-year grant is $40,000 to expand the data sources for AIDS case reporting in Oregon. With the recent trend toward more treatment in outpatient settings, some AIDS cases may be missed by the current data collection system. The third one is a two-year, $215,000 pilot program in Marion County to monitor potential sudden infant death syndrome cases. And the last one is $439,000 grant to provide services through local health departments to pregnant women identified as drug and alcohol abusers. This grants the funding source identified for the program established in Senate Bill 448, which Senator Hamby carried.